It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with Austin O'Neill, our favorite sprint car driver here at RacingBoys.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got a good show lined up for you today. Robert Ballou was the overall champion up at Husetts this last weekend, and he's going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about his weekend up at Husetts. A lot of action. But I want to start off by talking about our own Austin O'Neill, who had a pretty good weekend yourself, didn't you, bud? You went up to I-80. And you ran fourth at I-80. That's your second time to run fourth up there at I-80. And then you went over to your first trip over to the world capital of sprint car race in Knoxville Raceway. How'd you feel about going over there for your first time, Austin?
It's definitely different. You know, I rolled out there for hot laps, and, you know, I've been on there on iRacing plenty of times, and I've watched, you know, thousands of races there here the past couple of years. And,
right.
You know, Knoxville, the first thing that caught my eye is that, you know, it looks really wide. It is wide when you race on it, but, like, when you're rolling around there, it's wide enough to run maybe a couple cars wide, but it's a lot narrower than what you see on Dirt Vision or TV. But my first thought was, how in the world do they run a truck race here? But, no, I mean, it was a good trip to Knoxville. You learned a lot. It's a different animal. I mean, I've been on a couple of half miles this year, and I just figured it'd kind of be like, you know, I-70 or I-80, and right. It was nothing like it. And it's
unique, and it's
very unique.
Self, yeah.
So we got a lot to learn and a lot to do to get better. But I mean, you can't light the world on fire your first time there.
Well, I've got to admit, man, in that B main, you had to run in the B. Where'd you start in that B?
Seventh. I started deep.
You started deep. But the thing about it is everybody went to the bottom, and you just got up at the top and ripped around them. And I think, in two or three laps, you were up to third, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the track, it was kind of heavy all night long, and everybody just fought to the bottom. And I mean, I was already down there, and I knew I wasn't going to do anything following them, and I got lucky and saw an opening as we got into one. And in the heat race, I found the middle or kind of the slider line. And, you know, it was open, and I knew that I had to make a move within the first, you know, one or two laps and try and get the fourth. There was a lot of fast cars around me. I know I had Clinton Gardner behind me, and I knew he'd be tough, and I had to beat him there or get there before he did. Opening opened up for me, and I'm like, they're just going to hand it to me. And I took off, and yeah, we got to third down the back stretch, and then made a lap and had a car, you know, get upside down. So we had a run, and under the red, the guy in second broke and pulled off and gave me second. And I had a shot at the lead, and I don't know why. I just didn't chop Gunner hard enough, you know, going into three. And, you know,
regret there a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I chopped a couple guys in the heat race and got by them and made sure they didn't have a shot at getting back by me. And I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I was just more focused on trying to, you know, lead a lap at Knoxville. I don't know. But I should have known better. It's just one of those moves. But, I mean, I made the show. I wasn't going to try and crash anybody for a transfer spot. It doesn't make sense when you're already
right.
in it. But, no, I mean, not a bad run to be made.
You know, the key to Knoxville is, and I know that you didn't have a good qualifying effort, and you're not happy with your qualifying effort. I know that. But if you don't qualify well, it gets you really behind the eight ball a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they had three heat races, top six, invert. So the top 18 cars made the six-car invert. I qualified 27th out of 31, and it put me behind the invert. And, you know, you get minimal points for that poor effort, and then, you know, you got to pass quite a few cars to get where the points are good, and then a heat race, and I finished seventh where the points are all right, not good. You got to finish in the top five or so to get good points. And, yeah, it just buries you. It just ruins your night. And
yeah. Gets you behind the eight ball.
It does.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what makes Knoxville unique. And, you know, if all the tracks had the same format, it wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't learn a whole lot, and it wouldn't be really entertaining.
Right. Were you a little surprised when Clint Gardner come up around you there at the end of the end of that B? We don't see Clint run B mains very often, right? Were you a little caught off guard when he come up around you?
No, I was not surprised at all. I knew I didn't know he was going to be in the main until he fired off or was started next to me. But I believe he had an engine swap go on. That's why I admired him back in the B main with us. But no, I was not surprised at all. I knew once I kind of got in clean air and was up to second on the restart, and he was still outside the top five or at fifth. I knew it would take him a couple laps to get to me. But I knew I just had to put myself in a position where I would be good if he got to me. But you know, I was not surprised at all to see Clint go rolling by me. He's probably one of the best on the bottom at Knoxville.
Right.
And
won a lot of races there.
He has. And I tried to follow him one lap, and I couldn't do what he was doing. And I just had to,
What was he doing that you couldn't do? Can you tell me?
Just stick the bottom better. I mean, he was, if you watch the replay of the B main, the left front was on the berm, and he was just carrying a lot more momentum through there than I was. And I could carry the momentum, but I couldn't just stick it off of two. And that just comes with experience and a little bit better of a setup. But yeah, it's just, I'm glad he passed me and I could watch him for a lap or two.
You know what's so amazing is how the guys that have run up there a lot can get that left front up there on that berm like that. And I know, how hard is that at those speeds that they're running up there at Knoxville? That has to be very, you have to have a lot of experience to be able to do that, don't you?
Yeah, because it'll bite you.
Right.
It almost bit me in the feature. The berm, from a fan standpoint, it doesn't look like it's very big. I mean,
it's huge.
You hear drivers talk about it being big. It's big. It's probably, I'm going to say 3 foot tall, a little over 2-3 foot tall. I mean, it's something you don't want to mess with. I got into it one lap and smoked the drag link and the tie rod. So it'll definitely bite you if you don't hit it right. And, yeah, I hit it one time off of two, and it kind of rolled the front end up, and I almost, smoked the fence down the backstretch. But yeah, it's if you can hit it just right, it'll do wonders for you. If you don't hit it right, you'll come home with a wreck race car. But yeah, the guys that can get up on there and just keep the left front on it and keep the car loaded and keep the left rear and the moisture on the bottom, you'll do a Clint Gardner in the B main and drive by a lot of cars and do the same thing he did in the feature and drive up into the top 10.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch the World of Outlaw race last night at Wilmot?
Yeah, I got to watch some of the highlights. It's when I'm out racing for two nights, it's
hard to watch.
It's hard to commit to anything. Yeah. I got a lot going on, but no, I go back and try and catch all the highlight clips. And I was really surprised to see Scotty Thiel start on the pole of the feature. I know Scotty's kind of a Wisconsin car, and it was good to see him.
He ended up running seventh.
Yeah, it was good to see him have a good start, kind of a good showing in front of his home state. But no, Carson just kind of put it on him. They had a hard time trying to get that race started. Kind of reminded me of a junior sprint race. But
let me ask you a question here, Austin, and just be as honest as you can. When Donnie Schatz was leading that race, do you think all the fans up in the grandstands were pulling for Donnie Schatz? Because he doesn't win as much as he used to win, right? You got to feel that the fans were kind of pulling for him up there, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Donnie's had a rough past couple of weeks. He lost his father here a couple weeks ago. And like you said, he hasn't really had a Donnie Schatz year. Even last year, it wasn't a Donnie Schatz year until late August. And yeah, I think, fans kind of miss Donnie being dominant. As much as fans might not want to say that, I think they are. And
how much is how much do you think it's the Ford motor? You think it's lacking a little bit in some areas, maybe? I mean, he got a podium finish, right? He finished third. It must run pretty good. But do you think that the Ford motor, because really he hasn't won gobs of races since he's went to the Ford, has he?
No, he really hasn't. You got a point, that might be a big point in why he's not running that good. But you kind of look at it, last year he struggled until the Knoxville Nationals, and
right.
he was way off the pace, wasn't up to Donnie Schatz standards, and he almost won the Knoxville Nationals. And ever since the Nationals to the end of 2021, he was really fast and contending for wins. And I don't know if that package he had at that last half of the year changed going into this year.
Right.
But he does not look the same he does, you know, at the end of last year. And I think you get the rule to, you know, maybe he's kind of like Kyle Larson, where the things that they had, you know, different than other cars aren't working anymore. And also the Ford, too. They're still, you know, it's still relatively new, and they're still doing a lot of work on it. Not a lot of guys are on them. So, it's, yeah, I mean, if you – I mean, 75% of sprint cars are on Chevys, and a couple other cars are on Ford. So if you don't have a whole lot of cars, you know, on that product and getting a lot of testing and R&D with it, that can, you know, make it better. It's going to take a while for it to get good, and I think that might, you know, like you said, might be a problem with Donnie right now.
Right. How about last night up there at Husetts, Cannon McIntosh, he picks up the big money on the final night. What did you think about that race up there?
You know, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was bad.
You know, I don't know if it's just because of Husetts, the way the track is, or the track prep, or the type of dirt they have, but it's been hard on tires the past year or two. I saw a picture from Justin Grant, and I think another car is right rear after the 40 laps.
They were ripped off.
It was gone. It was down to just the cords. And the track, if you watch the video on it, it doesn't look that bad. It has a little shine through the middle, but the cushion and the bottom are really good. So I don't know what...
You wouldn't think it would do that to the tires,
yeah,
would you?
So I'm not sure. Because, I mean, I have... The tire I ran at Knoxville was bought, you know, about a month ago. And you've heard, you know, horror stories this year about tires, you know, delaminating and falling apart and blowing out. And my tire, I mean, it looks brand new. Never had one chunk come out of it or anything. So I don't know if it's maybe a bad batch of tires or the track surface, but it's not the first time we've had that issue at Husetts. But, you know, the midget race was really good. Cannon McIntosh, I don't want to say he was, like, my underdog pick, but he's kind of been, you know, fast here, you know, at the start of this year with Extreme and USAC, and I'm not really surprised that he won it. You know, he's been really good, and I mean, might have had a pick for a Keith Kunz car to get up there, like maybe a buddy, but still, I mean, it was a pretty good race for 100 laps.
I thought Mitchell Moles was going to be a player for sure before that it was all said and done, but he ended up running 7th. He started 10th, run 7th, but Mitchell Moles gets around that place pretty good up there.
Yeah, I mean, for him to pick up his first career USAC sprint car win and have a good run in the midget was pretty cool. And, you know, he's kind of a California racer, so he has a lot of experience in the micros and sprint cars and midgets out there. And I guess you can kind of call Husetts kind of like a California track where it's small, kind of heavy and fast. And I think it just kind of fit his driving style and what he's used to. And it was just, you know, a perfect combination for him. And, yeah, it was pretty cool to see, you know, two California guys pick up their first career you know, USAC win with Ryan Bernal winning the midget race a couple nights before that. But, yeah, it was a good weekend for the California guys.
Who did you think was going to win? Buddy?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to pick Buddy. It's just Buddy's been on a dominant streak right now. I think Buddy or one of the RMS cars, that would probably be my pick going into that race.
I've got a rant for a minute. Can you hang on?
Go for it.
Strap in. Hang on for a second. Let me tell you something about last night in that sprint car race that they had up there at Husetts. It was the midget race, wasn't it?
It was the midget race.
Midget race, not the sprint car race. The midget race. Buddy Kofoit flips his ass off. I mean, it was a nasty flip. Did you see that flip, Austin?
Yeah.
That was not an easy flip.
No, and especially that early on in the race, on lap 9, full tank of fuel, car still heavy. I mean, that was a hard hit for that early on in the race.
So here's my rant. As somebody that's been a producer in the video game, in the pay-per-view business for a long time, right? Did it for a lot of years. It pisses me off to no end. I mean, I get so freaking mad when the cameras stay on a car when a driver's injured. It's the lowest form of producing if you don't take that camera off of that race car when a driver's hurt. Who in the hell is running that broadcast there last night needs to be fired immediately. When Buddy was upside down and obviously he was dinged up and he was inside that car and you could tell there was some urgency there with the safety workers around that car. that something was going on with Buddy. Get the damn cameras off that car! What in the... That, whoever the producer of that broadcast needs to be fired immediately. It's the absolutely worst thing that you can do is to leave the camera on a car when a driver's injured. It's my biggest pet peeve. What in the hell are you thinking as a producer to leave the camera on a car when a driver's injured? Get the goddamn camera off of it! Fucking pisses me off! What about a driver when they're hurt? What about the family back home that's watching? What the hell are you doing? It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Leave a camera on a car when a driver's injured? What the... Fire that producer right now. I'm just saying, and nothing ticks me off worse than when a driver's injured and they leave the goddamn camera on the car. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. What the hell were they thinking? Oh, let's tighten that camera up. Let's get in there a little tighter, and let's see if we can see if he's really injured. What the hell are you doing? It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Come on. Use your freaking head. Get the camera off the car. If the person's injured, what do we want to do? You want to see some blood? You want to see somebody really dinged up and really hurt? Is that what you're trying to do? Come on, man. Use your head. Anybody else feel like that? Am I the only one that feels that way? Austin, is that wrong? When somebody leaves a camera on a car, when somebody's injured, it just annoys me to no end. I can just tell you, the first rule of thumb in motorsports, if a driver's injured, get the camera off of the car. Jesus. Oh, am I going too far, Austin?
No, I think you're right on. I mean, it's just a disrespect to the driver and the family. I mean, you're spot on. I mean, I'm not, you know, a cameraman at all, but I mean, just how would you like to feel, you know, if that was your family member or a loved one in that situation, you know?
What if you're at home and you're the parent to the child of the person in that car, right? And now you don't know what's going on. All you know is you see a bunch of safety workers working on the driver in the car, trying to get him out of the car to see if he's okay and everything. As a parent, what would you be thinking at that time, right then? Well, your mom and dad, they would flip out, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It's my biggest pet peeve in all of motorsports is when they leave the cameras on cars when somebody's injured. I can't get my head around it. I just don't understand how anybody in their right mind, any kind of professional producer of any type of motorsports broadcast, would keep the camera on the car when a driver's injured.
Do you fire the producer or do you fire the cameraman? If it's more than a one
maybe you fire them both.
If it's more than a one camera shot, like production, then it's the producer's fault, right?
Yep.
But if it's one camera, it's the cameraman's fault.
Well, listen, the producer is the one that takes care of the cut. The cut is where you switch the cameras. That producer is in charge of those cameras and knows where to get that camera off of that car. I just can't get over it, man. It bothers me so much. Because, listen, I was out there. I produce these races, and I saw people get injured. And the first thing I did when anybody was injured is get the damn camera off of the car. Come on.
Well, it's like the Joaquini last year, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, what if that happened at Husitz? I mean, you don't want to see that, and that's not something you need to have the camera on.
I mean, it's one thing for the camera to catch the wreck.
Right.
But the moment you realize the driver's injured, get the damn camera off the car. It's not that hard to do. Just go to your cutaway camera. Just do something else. But don't leave the camera on the car while the driver's injured. I'm sorry if I got a little worked up there, but oh man, there's nothing that really pisses me off more than that right there. That's all I can say. All right. I'm sorry I ranted. I'm sorry I used some cuss words in there, but it's my biggest pet peeve, and I just can't get over it. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Robert Ballew joins us next right here on Mostly Motorsports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I just got to learn how to not get so excited, man. Gosh, dogs, that just my pet peeve, man. I'm passionate about that, and as somebody that's been in the broadcasting business for a long time, it's just one of my biggest pet peeves, leaving the camera on a car when a driver's injured. And joining us now on the show is a good friend of the Racing Boys. He's the overall champion up there at the USAC Nationals at Huset's this weekend. Robert Ballew joins us. Robert, how you doing, buddy?
How are you?
I'm worked up a little bit, to be honest with you.
Where'd this happen at?
Well, this is when Buddy flipped in the midget last night, and they kept the camera on the car while he was in the car, and you could tell he was dinged up. They had all the safety, all the safety workers around him, and they leave the damn camera on the race car while they're attending to the driver. It's my biggest pet peeve of all of pay-per-view.
That's not normal, really.
No, it's not.
Not nowadays.
They shouldn't do that, should they, Robert?
No, not really. Normally they pan away to something else, the rest three quarters of the racetrack, not the area that's happening.
Yeah. Man,
you just never know.
You had a pretty stellar weekend, didn't you, buddy?
I'm gaining on it. Just you got to crawl before you walk and walk before you can run.
Well, what did you think of the overall event up there? First of all, let's talk about what Todd Quarring did. I think you were a little critical on the first night, and maybe you woke up some people because the crowd was a little bit bigger on Saturday night. But you were pretty vocal about you better get some fans in the stands so Matt Wood will bring this race back, right?
Yeah, obviously he's got sponsors and, mm-hmm. and whatnot, but and he is growing it. But obviously if there aren't race cars there and there aren't fans there, you just can't keep losing money.
Yeah. Well, do you think it's really because of they don't run enough non-wing races up in that area? You think that's part of the problem?
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like, you go to a lot of places to where, that aren't familiar with, what we do or whatever. And, mm-hmm. They just think that the wing cars aren't running tonight, so we're not going.
Yeah.
I know that Matt, I talked with Matt last night. He said that he did advertise, but a lot of the people that I spoke with that are local said that, that there wasn't enough, and most people didn't even know that anything was going on that weekend. Now, granted, they did. I don't want to say they didn't do their job, because I'm sure they spent quite a bit of money to do TV and radio or whatever. And I know that there were flyers everywhere, but I'll be honest with you, I don't really look at flyers. We're in a new era. Social media is everything, and I guess radio or I guess people still watch TV. I don't really turn the TV on unless I'm going to watch a race or something, because I don't need to be filled full of bullshit, if you will. But that was the main thing that I got from the local fans, was that most people don't know, that something's going on, which I find hard to believe, but who knows? there were a lot more fans. That place is huge. But, you know, I feel, not knocking anybody, this is probably not going to come out right, but I feel that that USAC is lacking promotion. I feel that, you know, the All-Stars and the Outlaws are hyping it up and pumping it up, and their crowd show it. Obviously, I have ran both wing and non-wing. I feel that, you know, there's no more exciting racing in the world than non-wing sprint cars.
Yeah.
But you got to have someone, you know, pumping it up every single night and getting it out there. And I feel that, you know, in the last 10 years, that's dropped off. And, you know, most of the USAC fans are walking around with walkers, you know.
Yeah.
They got to get the next generation of the younger generation in there. And otherwise, we're all going to be in trouble.
Don't you think that's a little unusual, though, Robert? Because we have so many young drivers that are involved in non-wing sprint car racing, midget racing, and that was such a big event for USAC up there at Husetts. We have so many young kids. Wouldn't you think young kids would follow young kids?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. You know, the average kid rolls up with his helmet bag at 6 o'clock, 5:30 for the driver's meeting.
Well, that's true.
You know, from his hotel room, and you know, has his AirPods in or whatever, and listening to the next, you know, Justin Bieber or something, and don't really care about anything else. Don't let anyone know where they're going and what's happening. And you know, they're kind of, you know. Most of the kids nowadays, you know, most of them have, you know, a lot of money, and you know, they live in a fantasy world where they don't think about promoting themselves or promoting the series or pumping it up or trying to get people involved. I feel it's just the new way.
They don't do their part. They could get out there on social media and work it a little bit more, but they don't tend to do that as much. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, you know, a lot of, you know, obviously we've got some young girls that are, you know, I guess you would say good looking, and you know, they're posting pictures of sunglasses or in bikinis and stuff, and not a lot about what's really going on with the race car.
Right.
You know, people are obviously paying attention to them, but they aren't pumping up the event. Because, you know, a lot of them are spending $200,000-$400,000 a year to drive the car, and they live in fantasy land, you know. And
yeah.
You know, we're in the sprint car side of things. Yeah, there's so you got a few, you know, there's more than a few. There's a few good young upcomers, but I still feel that, you know, they're not doing their part either.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Robert, you mentioned a little bit last night, I think it was. Maybe it was the night before, I'm not sure. But you mentioned that I think it was last night. Did you feel like the track was still a little heavy last night?
I'm not knocking anything because I'd rather have it be, you know, wet than bone dry and idling around or laying rubber, because that's obviously we're in a tire shortage and that ain't good either. But apparently that Brett Millenbert, that was raced, you obviously know him, he's raced for years. It's his brother-in-law that's the track prep guy there, apparently for the last 20 years, I guess. And I had went over and asked him every night, hey, you know, like, what do you think the thing's going to do? Since we're not, obviously, we're, 750 miles away from this place, and we've only been there once. And you know, he was fine, and, you know, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what, you know, after the heat races, hey, we're going to do this to the track, and then, you know, you guys will be ready. Well, the final night, he's like, I said, what do you think the track's going to do? We had, like, 5 mile an hour wind the whole day. It was 100 degrees. The air was really bad.
It was going to dry it out.
And And, you know, obviously wind and sun and heat is the three worst things that a dirt track could ever have. And he kind of, you know, said, oh, why don't you go worry about working on your race car or something? Mm-hmm. Let us worry about the track. And, you know, obviously I'm just trying to get a feel for what they think, you know, because it didn't look near as wet. But obviously, that, you know, they had mentioned the night before about, you know, humidity and I guess after the first night, which was the first night was the wettest, early on, but obviously, you know, we had a lot of cars running on it, and, they said that when they went out and like poked holes in it or whatever they do, that all the, that they could watch the water come back up, which I find crazy, but, obviously, you got to believe them. And then, you know, I'm not sure if they put water on it last night or not, but if they didn't, then when they poked holes in it, water was coming out of the track. And I don't know if that had to do with the humidity because it was very humid. The wind died down at night, and, you know, it was like 40 hot laps, more or less, which was, you know, threw us all, I think it threw it all for ball. But he, you know, when Brady got out of the car, he said, wow, that sucked. That was 40 laps. You were basically flat-footed on the floorboard,
yeah.
Which obviously isn't conducive to great racing either. But, you know, it is what it is. There's not much you can do about it. A couple guys had some tires delaminate. I've had it happen 5 times this year, so I understand the deal. And you know, when the track gets that way where it's, you know, the place is real high banked, and when it's hammered down and it's leaning on that tire real hard, you know, and they don't have any cure time, it's, you know, I think hard on them. And if your car's not perfect and you're having to really try and spin the tires, you know, and you got a lot of pressure against them, and that place is really abrasive, you know, it's a recipe for disaster on a tire that's not had any cure time.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can do as a driver? I think I counted 3 right rear tires that went flat last night, and that was pretty early on into the race. What does a driver need to do to manage his tires? What do you do to manage your tires when you're out there on the racetrack? Just make sure you don't get a lot of wheel spin. Just kind of take us through the thought process when you're out there driving the car, how to maintenance that right rear tire as you're running the race.
I missed that. Somebody was talking to me.
Oh, okay. I just want to know how you manage your right rear tire when you're out there on the track. You just keep the wheel spin down as much to a minimum as possible. Is that what you do?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, you know, like I know that going there, that there's a really good chance that it's going to eat the tires off. When we were there last year, we burned off 4 rear tires a night.
Mm.
You know, which now that, you know, in the last, I think, year and a half, Hoosier has, you know, like a right rear tires went up over $100 a tire. Left rear is the same.
Yeah.
So now we got added cost that, and then obviously, you know, with fuel or whatever. But, you know, we knew what we were kind of getting into. So you try and, you know, when the track's still wet there for some reason, you know, then you have to spin, like, the way the format is, I think, is what ultimately causes you to hurt the tires worse because, you know, everything's inverted, everything's points, not passing points, just finishing points, and it loses 3 points per spot, I guess. And, you know, so then you start, you know, you qualify good, then you start 8th, and, you know, you got to get enough points to lock yourself in or whatever. And every time you hit the track, it's the Trophy Cup style format. You have to... you have to go. And,
right.
So when the track starts to slick off and it's, you know, becomes where there's 2 lanes, you might have to make a 3rd lane and you're spinning the wheels around the track and you blister a tire and then, you know, it's junk.
Right.
So, you know, like this track surface is, you know, from what they've said for the last 20 years, it's pretty abrasive if they don't have it real wet. And you know, like for a wing car, it's not near as bad. They got a wing pushing them into the track, keeping them from spinning their wheels.
Yeah.
Where obviously we have similar motors to the wing cars and a harder tire that's 10 points harder than what all the wing tires are. And so they spin easier because they're harder, and we have nothing pushing us down into the racetrack. So, you know, you got to use your foot, and you got to have a good shock package, and you got to have your car right. And,
right.
You know, it's a magnitude of things, you know, that make it be the way that it is. But obviously, you know, I feel, you know, on a normal USAC race, if you get into the top four, you're in the show, you just ride around. The average guy does. And I feel like this deal, at least you're really driving and you're trying right. to make something happen every time, because every spot's worth 3 points.
Yeah, right.
And obviously this last obviously there's a point fund for the points, and then there the highest finishing overall between either or midget or sprint car got a simulator. Well, obviously Buddy had that thing locked up because he won. It was quick time two nights and won the first two features.
Right.
Clearly he's the class of the field there. And then obviously 10 laps in last night, he ran himself into the wall.
Yeah.
And, so he forfeited all them points, and then I was the lucky recipient of
right.
of the simulator. So obviously, you know, I went out in the heat and really pushed the issue. And went from eighth to, like this last night that was fully inverted. I went from eighth to eighth to second. And, you know, that's just what you got to do if you want to, you know,
right.
I think them simulators are $10,000 or $12,000. And, if that's what you want, you know, we're all there to try and make a buck and get as many points as you can. So,
right. Right. Well, we're visiting with Robert Ballew. He was the overall champion up at the USAC Nationals at Huset's this weekend. Austin wants to jump in here and ask you a quick question. Austin, go ahead.
Just talking about, you know, the track being abrasive at Huset's, what do you think they could do to make it better for you guys, you know, in the future? Is it something where we need to bring in, you know, new dirt, or just maybe scratch the event and go somewhere else?
No, I think it's you know, it's the most beautiful facility, you know, that we go that there is, I would say.
Yeah. Well,
and
go ahead.
I feel like you know, it's kind of the way that it is. You're not going to change it. So.
Mm-hmm.
What
would you do different? Just not put as much water to it. Just kind of let it slick off and let it do its thing. Just let it take its course.
Because when it slicks off, it immediately just grinds them off like 36 grit sandpaper.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer would be. I think it's just the you know, that black dirt. When we go to Knoxville without a wing, it's the same similar situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just non-wing race cars. I think our spec tire is a little bit too hard, but it's the tire we've been on forever. It used to not blister all the time, and over the course of the last probably 5 or 6 years. I don't know whether it's you know, shortage of supplies or what have you, but you know, it isn't the same tire as we were on yeah. 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately the biggest battle we're facing.
Robert, I know that you drove all night. Did you get any sleep last night driving home at all?
No, they say you sleep when you're dead.
Well, come on now, that's not right. We don't want to hear that.
That's what they say. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
I don't want to hear that shit, bud. I just don't want to hear it.
I know. We just backed it in the shop right now. 750 miles.
Now your boy that's in PA, is he going to leave now and try to drive home?
Todd, he's going to have a shower, and he's going to. His wife's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I looked it up. I think it's about 12 hours to get there, and that's where he's headed. He slept for about 2/3 of the way home, and he's headed to. I think his wife and his kids are in Myrtle Beach, and that's where he's going for, I guess, the week.
Yeah. Robert,
it's a good thing to be the business owner.
Listen, I don't think really people realize what you do to race. I don't think people get it, right? I know that you do more with less than anybody out there, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that in any disrespect, but listen.
No, absolutely.
You drive everything. You could race a dump truck, bud. And get around a racetrack. You've got that talent, but I don't think people really realize how much effort working during the week, racing on the weekends, driving all night to get back home. You're not working today, right? You're not going to go to work today, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to work today. They said, but be ready tomorrow at 6. You know, obviously, I work for Parker Miller's step, who owns all of these cars, and they have a steel station. And I'm like, I do that. Nobody to do this part. Build all of race.
Yeah, you're kind of cutting out on us there a little bit, Robert.
Sure.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, that's okay. Well, listen, we're gonna let you get some sleep, bud. And
okay,
I always appreciate you taking the time. When I texted you this morning, you said, "Come on, man, let's do it." And I appreciate it every time that you want to come on the show, man. You know, we're always pulling for you. You know,
definitely.
We have a few of our favorites here at Mostly Motorsports, and you're one of them, bud. So, where are you going next week? What are you gonna do?
I'm actually a boy named Levi Curry that I've been friends with for a long time. He owns a wing sprint car, and we're going to go Friday night to Lincoln, Illinois with a MOA series.
Oh,
that's
cool.
His home track. Last year I ran the race, and we run second, and he really wants to win there at his home track. So hopefully I can remember how to hold my arms straight and not embarrass myself too much and go have some fun with him. And then set these cars here idle till the following Friday starts Indiana Sprint Week.
Yeah. Well, Robert.
Try and get another rocking chair.
Yeah. Well, go get them this weekend and keep those elbows tucked in this weekend. And don't try to get your elbows out there too far, okay?
Yeah, it don't work very good with a wing on.
No, it doesn't. All right, Robert. Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate you so much. You don't know. Thank you, buddy.
Great to talk to you. See ya.
All right. There you have it. Robert Blue, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. I got up. I walked around the room. I'm calmed down now. I feel a lot better. You know, is Robert Ballew, is he one of the best in the business when it comes to doing an interview with? I mean, I've interviewed a lot of drivers over the year. And there's a few that come to mind, John Force, Gary Selzy, but Robert Ballew has got to be one of those top five interviews. When you interview him, he is not afraid to say anything, is he? Austin?
You caught me while it's working.
Oh, but, okay. But Robert Ballew, isn't he one of the best interviews, to be honest with you?
He is, and we need more people like him. You know,
that speak their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody, we talked about this, I think it might have been last week, about, you know, Cup drivers and, like, Ross Chastain. We can't be all, you know, perfect Alex Bowmans or, like, Mr. Nice Guy. We got to, you know, we got to have some people that have sharp edges and poke people sometimes. And
like Ross Chastain did yesterday.
Ross Chastain and, you know, Robert Ballew. I mean, you know, we can tell them they're doing a great job and watch them fail. Sometimes you got to call them out on it. But I always enjoy talking to Robert and listening to what his opinion is. And, you know, it's going to be the honest truth.
Yeah. Later this week, we're going to get Hunter Schoenberg on the show. He picked up a $6,000 payday at Stateline Speedway. What did you think about that race?
I wish Florissant did a better job at having their website organized where I can find the highlights of that race. But, no, it was good to see 100% get a win this year. He's kind of had some good speed here recently. He had a really good run going at Lernerville when the All-Stars were back in town for the Don Martin race. And, you know, I think, you know, Hunter's kind of one of the drivers that we talk about him, but we don't talk about him enough. You know,
right.
He's kind of like, you know, hides in the shadows, and there's nights where him and Clinton can strike lightning in a bottle, and they're, you know, the best car there. I just, you know, I would like to see him, you know, maybe pick up a couple more wins before the year's over and might maybe have a shot at the championship. But, no, it was good to see Hunter kind of get back on top and definitely get some confidence and some momentum rolling into the big month of sprint car racing we got coming up with Eldora this weekend, and then, you know, into Knoxville and then the month of money in September.
He should have won the night before when he blew that right rear tire out coming down for the white flag, right? He should have won two nights in a row.
Yeah, I forgot that he had that happen, and it's right. More of kind of like a, you know, redemption, you know, cherry on top of the weekend for that happening to him. And yeah, it was definitely, as a driver, I mean, it sucks when you can lead, or when you lead the whole race and it gets taken away on you. Taken away from him the last, you know, half lap, and nothing is more gutting than that. And, you know, come back around the next night and pick up a win, it's just it's kind of like you beat it, you know, that one last time, right?
Yeah. You know what, really, how much do you think Clinton Boyles is a part of the success of Hunter? You think he's
I think it's quite a bit.
I do too.
You know, because
he's a racer.
You know, they speak the same terminology.
Yeah.
They both race, and they both, you know, Clinton isn't as big on the wing side as Hunter is, but I definitely think, you know, having, you know, someone that's been in the seat and knows the feeling that you can come and talk to and just bounce ideas off of, that's
right.
That's the biggest thing. And when you can get a crew guy and a driver to work together really well and they have a good chemistry, I mean, it's just a matter of time before they start, you know, knocking off, you know, big success mountains, and they can, you know, pick up some big wins and big races and championships. It's just the biggest thing is just the chemistry between the team.
You know what bothers me more than anything about all of this is that Clinton Boyles, who is an exceptional racer, to be honest with you, he's good, man. Do you think, I'm going to say it out loud right now, do you think he's jeopardizing his personal driving career in order to go help Hunter be successful with his career? Do you think that he's sacrificing his career right now?
I mean, that's a tough question. I think that...
because he's good, man.
You know, Clinton is very good. I think if Clinton had a better opportunity present itself to him, or he had maybe a full-time ride with a USAC team or a national touring team in sprint car racing or midgets.
Right.
You know, that's where he would be. And I think, you know, kind of when he had that falling out with RMS and then his Paul Hazen ride just kind of, you know, went a different direction, that he was just kind of left with nothing to do, and nobody was really knocking on the door to get him in their seat, and this deal with Hunter came up. But I think it was just the perfect timing for him to fill the void of not having a job, and the jobs actually turned out being pretty good for him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to leave and go try and redevelop or take another shot at your driving career when you're having this success as a crew chief and enjoying your job and enjoying what you're doing with Hunter.
Yeah, no doubt. I think what Robert was doing when we were talking to him in that interview that we did with him, I think he was backing his rig in.
I think he was, too.
Yeah, I think because he said, we just rolled into the shop, we're backing in right now. I think he was looking in his mirrors when he was talking to us.
Yeah, it sure sounded like it, because you get them on a roll and you'd hear a pause every once in a while, and I don't back a trailer up very well, and I couldn't when it's perfect setting, and I don't know how you did it on talking to us too, but I guess you can call him jack of all trades.
I take a lot of pride in backing up trailers.
Yeah.
Don't I, Kurt? I take a lot of pride in backing up trailers. I you know, that's all I've done all my life. You know, my family was in the moving business. I backed up 45-foot trailers back in the day, and then all these years driving race cars. I'm surprised you can't back up a trailer, Austin.
I can.
You're just not that talented at it, right?
No. I could take it from the front of the building to the side of the building, but trying to get it in my driveway, nope, you won't see me doing that. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, man, I'm really happy for you this last weekend, Austin. So what is your plans? Where are you going to go race next? What are you going to do?
We'll be home this weekend. We're going to race at US 36 with the National Tour. Take Saturday off.
You don't get nervous when you go up there, do you?
No.
Because that was your biggest wreck ever at that place, right?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. It just was one of them things that you can't prevent. And hopefully the track's better this year. I know they've had a couple of issues at the start of the season with it being rough with all the rain and the whole redeveloping. So hopefully they got that kind of fixed. And it's a good sprint car show for us. I know, you know, no matter what condition it is, it's always a good show they put on with ASCS. And so we'll take Saturday off and head out next Wednesday to I-80 for a $5,300 to win show for the prelude to the Silver Dollar Nationals. And then I don't know what I'm doing after that. So yeah. That's what my next week and a half looks like.
We'd be remiss if we didn't say that the passing of Terry Babb. That wasn't good. Did you tell me he was racing at Farmington and he had a heart attack?
Yeah, so what I've kind of pieced together from social media posts is Terry was racing at the Farmington weekly 410 class. He was leading the feature when he pulled into the infield and went into cardiac arrest after a heart attack. So, kind of went out in style with going out, you know, racing a sprint car race and leading, but kind of caught me off guard. I mean, not something you expect to see, and you know Terry was still young, and it was definitely a big loss to the sprint car community from what he's done. Yeah. And I mean all forms of racing. I mean the guy he's raced it all, done it all, and succeeded at everything he's been in.
Yeah, well, it's sad to hear that, man. Gosh, dogs, I hate to hear that. Hate it when anybody passes away. It's not good. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. Again, today's show and each and every show that we do here on Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We want to thank them for being such great contributors to our show and allowing us to do this each and every day at 12 noon Central Time. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. We hope that you'll join us. I want to thank everybody that was chiming in on the chat room. A lot of comments today. I didn't get to read a lot of them. I'm sorry I didn't, but we got all of our regulars on there. It was good to see Marie back. Tammy was hanging out with us. So it's good to see Dave Tyson, everybody hanging out. Frog's there. Marvin's hanging out with us as well. Chuck Taylor's hanging out with us. Bruce. So it's all real good, man. We've just had a great time here today. I want to remind everybody still that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame has the track tribute that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to go on through October 1st. It's Ascot Park. It's a great tribute, folks. If you've never went to Ascot Park, this is a good way to learn about the heyday of a great racetrack, one of the best tracks in America during its time. Again, that exhibit is going to be going on through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia, all kinds of Ascot Park display stuff. They got a bunch of cars up there as well that raced there back in the day. So get up there and check it out. And don't forget, they still have the drawing going on for the IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They're going to be giving that away on Saturday, August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. Again, if you can't go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it in person at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I misspoke there. Or you can do it online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. You can do that online. This is one of 1,000 Corvettes, folks. This is not your average Corvette. This is a real race car. And listen, I hope I win it. That would be one of the greatest things ever if I could win it. I'm going to buy my share of tickets for that as well. And don't forget, they still have the 2022 Triple X chassis, the sprint car, the 410 car up there that they're going to raffle off as well. I think they're going to give you an extra $25,000 to help pay the taxes on that as well. They're going to be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. And again, if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com for your chances to win this 410 Sprint Car. It is a fabulous car. It's going to be it's going to make somebody really happy when they win that, either the Sprint Car or the Corvette. How can you lose? Get up there and make sure you purchase some tickets. The great thing about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is that you can go up there and learn the entire history of sprint car racing. They've got everything that you ever need to learn about the world of sprint car racing. And Bob Baker does such a great job with that place up there as well. So get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check it out if you would. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at sprintcarstuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for sprint car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, sprintcarstuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.